Welcome to the Take Your Power Back Show with Peak Performance Breakthrough Coach, Kim Yater. Today's empowering program will encourage you to step into your power, to take action in your leadership, and allow your voice to be heard. Listen in today as we speak to other freedom-loving Americans that are making a positive impact in the world by standing in truth amid adversity. Learn how to take your power back in your freedom, in your personal and professional life, in technology and creativity, and in your faith. Be inspired. Be encouraged. Be transformed. Together, let's take your power back with our host, Peak Performance Breakthrough Coach, Kim Yater.
Well, hello there, my freedom-loving patriots. Welcome to the Take Your Power Back Show, the voice of everyday Californians who are done with the status quo, done with broken promises, and ready to reclaim our state for our families, our kids, and our future. I'm your host, Peak Performance Master Coach Kim Yater, and today we are laser focused on the race that could reshape California's leadership for generations to come. The race for Lieutenant Governor. That's right. We've been interviewing all the governor candidates in the state. This one is your Lieutenant Governor. These are not just career. Actually, let's reframe that. They are not just career politicians. These are two fighters who understand service, accountability, and putting people first. And both are right here on the official roster for our historic Take Our California Back to a Better Future statewide summit on April 24th and 25th in San Joaquin County, the breadbasket of America. So we're talking from breadbasket to ballot box. We are taking our California back, starting with the Make America Healthy Again Leaders Governor and State Candidate Forum, to the groundbreaking election transparency security feature demonstration, all the way to the historical Republic, no party preference, and Democrat all party lines debate. That's right. We are debating the real issues. This summit is where California's future gets decided. And these two candidates will be front and center. First up today, independent mediator. Actually, yes, this is actually really, really key, guys. Listen in here because this guy's background is astounding. So, independent mediator and trained hostage negotiator, Sean Collinson. Do you think we need some negotiation? Come on, California. Then after the break, we're going to have Republican veteran nurse. She knows her stuff. Fierce advocate, Ebi Lynch. California, buckle on up because this is going to be an absolutely powerful interview today. So what we're going to do is we're going to launch it by bringing in that warrior, Sean Collins. And Sean, welcome to the Take Your Power Back Show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Well, Sean, good morning. I am doing really, really good. I have to tell you, you and I have had a couple of powerful conversations. You are refreshing. And it sounds like we have some similar background in as master practitioners in neurolinguistic programming, which means that you and I both take an oath that to use the tools that have been given to us to only support the good. Would you agree?
Agreed. 1,000%.
All right, Sean, well, let me ask you this. You're running with no party preference as a professional mediator and hostage negotiator who spent decades bringing people together in the toughest of situations. Why now, Sean? Why did you decide it was time to step into the lieutenant governor's race and fight for the golden state of California?
Kim, that's a great question. As a mediator, I just believe that California is super divided right now, and that people are just sick and tired of the same narrative, the broken promises, affordability is through the roof, gas prices are crazy, and people just need someone to come in, help bring common, find common ground, and bring people to the table. People are saying, hey, you have to take this stance, or you have to do that. I don't think we have to have a bully pit to force people into anything. I think we can all share ideas and start getting to the table and start listening. That's what we do as mediators. If you think about it, the biggest crises in the world, they send in federal mediators. Mm-hmm. Mediators make the difference. So California needs a mediator to help bring the ideas and find common ground, get people working together again so that we can bring some of this prosperity down to the everyday people that work. It's time to do that and stop the blame game. And every time, you know, Trump does something, we're up in arms. Everything's his fault. As a matter of fact, it might not be only his fault. We have to take accountability in this state. And as the lieutenant governor, I'm going to bring people to the table to be accountable. That's what we need, accountability.
I love it. I love it. You know, you said a few key things, but taking responsibility. You know, we're in a place in this, not just the state of California, but the entire country, where people are living in the fight, flight, and freeze. They're living in the lower brain. So talk about the sheep, right? We're being completely moved by everything that's on social media. And that leaves us in a place of victim. And when we're in a place of victim, you and I both know, Sean, that we can't make powerful choices. All we're doing is deciding from whatever information we have of our past junk in the trunk that's incomplete. So if we get to take responsibility, and which we do, because it really isn't a have to, it's I get to take ownership. Sean, one of the things for me, you know, I'm a mom of four. I'm a grandma. Yes, a business owner, a show host. I lead Take Our California Back. Led the Take Our Border Back movement across the country. But I had to learn what it really meant to take ownership for my state of California. I was one of those people. I don't know your story, but I was riding on the coattails of my forefathers, believing that freedom was already free. Right? They fought and died for my freedom, my kids' freedom. Little did I know that I was the frog in the pot. I was no longer standing. I had to lose my freedom before I realized it was lost.
Right. And you hit a key point that's been part of my narrative as we move forward. Small businesses are getting squeezed.
Yes.
I talked to a gal the other day. We were charging some vehicles. And she said, you know, I've been in business 13 years in California. Mm. And she said, I can't afford to stay here anymore. And I said, well, what's going on? She said, well, my husband, my son, and my daughter all work at the business, but I can't afford to hire anyone. And she said, California, with all of these regulations and taxes, and she says, you know what? We can't get ahead. And I just looked at her and I just said, you know what? You're right. We are not getting ahead. Mm. We're stuck in gridlock while politics as usual happens every 4 years. They come along, they sing a song because it's time to sing it. But when it's time for prosperity to trickle down to the common folk and everyday people that work and carry California on their back, they don't bring it. All I'm saying is, as a no party preference candidate, I'm coming up the middle to make a difference, to make change for the people of this state that are dropping kids off at daycare every day, the moms and the dads. Yeah. I'm talking about the small business owners that have invested their entire lives, families into their community. Mm-hmm. And that's the thank you we give them. Who are we right now? And then all we do is point the finger. No, they did it. Huh? They did it. Wait, whoa. I didn't do it. They did it. And at the end of the day, the people are carrying that burden. So if I'm elected lieutenant governor of California, my job as the mediator is to do exactly what I've been doing. Find the solution. We know the problem. That gal, when she explained it to me about her business, she was telling me the problem. People are tired of problems. You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. So when these folks come along every 4 years during the primaries and all of this stuff going on, and they're telling me what they're going to do. They're good at that. But where are the results? Where are the results? We're sitting on the highest health care, highest homeowners insurance, highest taxes, craziest red tape and bureaucracy, everything. Why are we paying the most for everything in California? And if that's the case, if we're the fifth largest economy, why aren't the Californians living the dream too? That part, right? So people have to be wondering right now, Sean, if we send you to Sacramento, what can you assure us? Well, California, I can assure you two things right off the bat, that I'm not beholden to either side. So I'm going to bring everyone to the table. Now, people say, well, how do you get people that can't agree on anything to, how do you get them to the table? Well, let me tell you this much. We can find agreements and solutions, which is my number two, that we all can live with. We're the fifth largest economy in the world. We just need to get people to the table and use their common sense. So common sense is not a given. So no one start DMing me that he said common sense. We have to use our common sense. And as a mediator, I usually, you know, talk to folks going through tough situations.
Right.
And they're thinking the world is about to end. But if we come together and just put our brains together and start thinking outside of the box and stop thinking within the party lines and start thinking within the people's lines. Elected officials work for the people the last time I checked.
That's right, Sean.
The last time I checked, that's what I found out. And so now it's time to bring the people back into government. And I know people, now look, every candidate running, my colleagues, they mean well. They do. And I give them that credit. But once you join the party, you join a fraternity. Period. You can't join the fraternity and decide you're not going to get hazed and do it their way. It doesn't work like that. That's why good people get into politics. And then once they get in there, you go, well, what happened to the dream? It turned into a nightmare. So I'm sick and tired of politics as usual. That's why I'm running as a no party preference candidate. Now I'm a mediator. And like you said, I'm a crisis negotiator. I'm trained by the FBI as a hostage negotiator. So I know how it feels when people are at their wits' end and they want to jump and they're tired and they're sick and tired. So sending a mediator to Sacramento this time, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Well said. Well said. Well said. I'll tell you what, the no party preference party is growing. It's like, is it a party? It's not a party, but here's the deal.
It's not a party.
It is growing tremendously because people are like, I do not want to be aligned with this party. And we can see, Sean, that it has not been easy for the NPPs to be seen and heard. It's been very challenging. It's even been challenging for many of the Republicans, unless they are the party's picks, which there are two that have been picked from the beginning. So it's been very challenging for those Republicans to that are not the top picks and the independents to get their voices heard. That's why the Take Your Power Back show is so key in our Take Our California Back movement, is because your voice deserves to be heard. And the people deserve to know what their real choices are. They don't need to be drinking the Kool-Aid of the one-party system that is either this or this, because it is, there is no this or this. It is a one-party system. So, Sean, let's move on real quick.
Okay.
And this is really important. This ties in to some of our discussion. California's homelessness crisis is heartbreaking. You talked just a moment ago about having to mediate with those people who's so disheartened they wanted to take their life. And much of the homelessness population has been in situations like that, just so discouraged. Our cost of living is crushing families, and taxpayers are fed up with the waste. As Lieutenant Governor, President, which you will be President of the State Senate with tie-breaking power, member of the UC and Cal State boards, and on the State Lands Commission, how would you use that influence to demand real accountability and end the revolving door of recidivism? Let's look at that for a second.
Yes.
That's a core promise of your campaign, right? So just for our listeners, Sean, real quick, recidivism. Now, I know you guys probably already know, but sometimes I need the refresher. It's the tendency of a person who's been convicted of a crime to reoffend and return to a criminal behavior after being released from prison, jail, or completing their sentence. To you, right. Sean.
Right. So, no, that's a great question, Kim. And I just, but before I jump into that, I want to acknowledge you on Take Your Power Back, because you're absolutely right. Without shows like this, people wouldn't know that a no party preference candidate exists. Now, I'm keep your affiliation. Keep it. I'm just saying on this one, let's do something different to provoke and be intentional about change. You can stay with your party. I'm just saying, let's change the DJ. The music sucks. Let's change the DJ today.
It does.
Let's go to the party. I got that part.
Let's go.
Yeah, I got that part. Now let me just redirect now to your question. So yes. Recidivism, look, we cannot make it a revolving door. We cannot do that, because these people are coming into our communities, into our neighborhoods. So it's right up there with public safety. So my plan as your next lieutenant governor is to bring local officials to the table for accountability, making sure that when these folks come out of prison, they let them out early. Some people argue, well, they never even served, you know, how long they were supposed to be. Well, cognitive behavioral therapies. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that they're signed up and enlisted for that. Let's make sure that they're in programs, job force. Let's make sure they're in making sure that education. Now, a lot of people say education. Well, you know, we're trying to get our kids to school and train. Well, let me just tell you one thing. When you have education, you're less likely to reoffend. So this education thing is making sure that these people feel like, you know what? Life cares about them too. Mm. They're out here offending, but education can bring. Statistically, it shows that when folks are educated, they're least likely to offend. So why aren't we making sure that these programs to end recidivism are mandated? It's part of a condition of the parole or whatever they are doing, instead of just slapping an ankle bracelet or having them check in and leaving them to their own. We have to have systems in place, because the reason I'm saying this is because they're our neighbors. They're your neighbor. Yes. They're my neighbor. Wouldn't you want your neighbors rehabilitated? Or do you just want them standing out front thinking, hey, when they see your kid on a scooter and they don't have anything to live for or put this against? So I think education is big. Cognitive behavioral therapy is huge. Mm-hmm. And I think that they have to have the job resources so that they can get out and become citizens and contribute and add value to society. That's what that would take. And then on the homelessness front, as lieutenant governor, we have to hold these local officials accountable. We can't just pass the baton and go, hey, you guys got it from here. No, as lieutenant governor, I have leverage. My office will have influence. So I will be checking in with the governor as we get on the same page. I'll be coming down to Southern California, to Orange County, San Diego, Riverside County, San Bernardino County, Los Angeles, and making sure that our local officials know that the lieutenant governor's office, they have our support. What I've found with a lot of folks that get up to Sacramento, they don't get back down Southern California. Southern California, there's 21 million folks. That's half right. The populace of the state. Mm-hmm. So we have to be up Northern California and down here in Southern California. Oakland, clock in. Sacramento, Stockton. But let's get down to Orange County. Let's get down to San Diego.
That's right.
Let's, Let's rub elbows with our colleagues all over the state. We are a big, we are massive.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
proud of California, fifth largest economy. So that means to me, mm-hmm. when I'm speaking with the governor and I'm saying, look, we have to make sure businesses are not leaving the state. I haven't heard one candidate talk about the movie credits. Hollywood is the capital of the movie industry. But it seems like that capital of Hollywood's now in New Jersey. We have to bring mm-hmm. that back to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So no one's talking about the reform of those movie credits. And let's get these people with jobs working right here in California. We're the fifth largest.
Yes.
Let's make that work. Let's make that work for the people dropping off kids at daycare. Let's get the child care right. Let's get the health insurance taken care of so these people can feed their families, get on over to Disneyland, have some fun, and have a couple extra dollars in their pockets. But every 4 years, every 4 years, they sing the same song as the no party preference candidate. I'm just saying, bet on me this time. In the primaries, June 2nd, a vote for Sean, like Sean Penn, Sean Connery, Sean yes. Collinson is a vote for change. And the reason I can assure you of that is simply because I'm not beholden to either side. Now, getting on these shows is tough for a no party preference guy because everyone wants to dance in their party. So they don't want me on the show. They're like, oh, no, we can't have that mediator guy, hostage negotiator. What's that? They want to go into this and then they want to put me in a box and go, well, what do you think about the drilling? And you're definitely conservative because no party preference. You're camouflaging. We're not camouflaging anything. All we're doing is the Republic and the government, the people should have a say. And so far, Californians have been ignored. They've been ignored. And anyone that's watching this or sees this can share it with someone. If you can't say it, California, I'll say it for you. You've been ignored.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to bring someone with some skills. A mediator is perfect. Let's mediate a position that we all can live with. That's all I know how to do.
Beautiful.
I don't know how to join
about
the party.
Bringing all sides together.
Yes.
We do need that. Bringing it to the table, you know, not debating one another, debating the issues and coming up with real solutions. And I must say that we probably need some communication skills, some guidelines, some healthy communication so that we can move the needle. I think we've forgotten how to do that in our society that is that loves these shows that that are beating one another up on. So
yeah.
I think it's time to really take our power back in that area. I love that, Sean. Let's transition for a moment.
Okay.
You talk about transparency on your campaign. We've had a couple of conversations. Couple things you brought up today kind of mirror transparency. So, and when we're looking at transparency and how our tax dollars are spent, if we take a look at the Take Our California Back to a Better statewide summit featuring a major election transparency and security feature demonstrations, I want you to tell us, what specific reforms will you champion to make sure every California vote is secure, counted, and trusted?
Yeah, so that is a huge issue right now with the voter ID. I'm getting that question almost on every show we go on. We have to do things the right way. So I champion moving for a system that is fair, a system that's equitable and fair. Now, the federal government says, well, we're going to have it this way. Our local governments say, well, we're going to do it this way. I believe as the mediator, let's look at both platforms. So when we do move to reform, we're adding some of this and some of that. And that goes in alignment with being a mediator. If we can get the best of the red and the best of the blue, then that's going to be the best for the red, white, and blue.
Mm.
We have to stop making it one particular way. So I'm always a champion for let's just figure out what works for the people. Let's do the people's business. Let's stop doing the party's business and making it a one-way street. We're going to have to start, look at, okay, what's here and what's there? And then as the mediator, I get this side to say, basically, you know what, Sean, I can live with this. It's like the orange, the rime, and the juice. The other side, I go to the other room and I say, okay, guys, over here we have that. And they go, well, you know what, man, at a minimum, I think we should do this. And then my job is to just make sure that the people's interests is part of the solution. Now, whatever comes out of that is for the people. And mm-hmm. they didn't even know I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I'm going to champion.
I like that. I like that. So let's bring something to the table that's palpable today that we can relate to. So if we took a look at the 45,000 plus ballots that were exposed, more ballots mm-hmm. than people in Riverside County for the Prop 50 election, right? The gerrymandering of mm-hmm. The districts. So mm-hmm. if we look at what Bianco taking those, so listening to the citizens of mm-hmm. a Riverside who worked very closely with people like Clint Curtis. Clint mm-hmm. Curtis, if you do not know, Sean, I'm so excited about you being at this event because it's going to be so eye-opening to the people what's so with the election system. So Clint Curtis was hired by the Bush administration in the early 2000s to write the code to flip the vote in the machines. Mm-hmm. He became the whistleblower to Congress, not knowing how they would be utilizing that. It was kind of like, okay, tech, show us this can't be done. What's the tech guy going to do? Show you there's a back way in and you can do it, right? So whistleblower to Congress, fast forward, he's now the registrar voters clerk in Shasta County. Shasta is the epicenter for election transparency. Mm-hmm. Now, he worked closely with Riverside, the citizens, that connection we made. And it was powerful because they brought in Sheriff Bianco to do his job as the sheriff where there is fraud like this. Mm-hmm. It is his responsibility to bring that to the court. And he did. They seized those ballots. They're in the sheriff's office now. Mm-hmm. This was supposed to be in the court's hands. Rob Bonta, AG, came after him basically mm-hmm. saying, you know, don't do anything before May 6th. I believe May 6th is that date where everything gets wiped away. If it's not brought to court, forget those of us ever really looking at those ballots. So he said, no, I'm going to do the right thing before the people. This is an investigation. We're just going to figure out what happened. Where's the breakdown here, right? Good job, Sheriff Bianco. We're going to give you kudos to that. But Sean, we just found out that because of the lawsuits, what Bianco says were political lawsuits, the courts are shutting down. They're just shutting it down right now. So mm-hmm. as Lieutenant Governor, what do you see needs to happen right now? This is our current election system. If the vote can be flipped, think about that. The machines, the ESNS machines, the Dominion machines can be accessed by Wi-Fi, right? They can be accessed. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you?
If I'm elected as Lieutenant Governor, and this is a right now urgent situation that I know concerns a lot of folks, automatically, I have the ear of the governor. And it sounds like to me, I mean, come on, it's no surprise. California is a supermajority. They're in every house. They're in the governor's mansion, legislator. Rob Bonta files lawsuits. Seems like that's just Rob's job, right? So he's going to do that. But as Lieutenant Governor, where I think this office can be instrumental is having the leverage and the influence to put people on accountability status. Now, the way you've phrased it this morning, it seems that Bianco, the sheriff, did have the authority to investigate fraud.
Yes.
Right? There's no question that if he has probable cause, I'm sure that he's not just you know, walking around, you know, slinging allegations. I'm sure he appears to be a very smart man. And it seems like he's done his homework. He's done a deep dive. And his consensus decided we have to, you know, look into this as a fraud investigation. Now, during an election season, it seems, you know, is the timing, what is the timing of this? Mm. So as Lieutenant Governor, if I'm given the authority to, again, go back to the local officials, this happened in Riverside. Let's see who's on first. Let's see who's on second. I think the people oftentimes get confused by all the media and the distractions and what's going on. Facts don't lie. People do. So my role is to get to the facts and figure out, okay, here's what's going on here with the facts. And then once we present the facts, and whoever's in charge of presenting that, it's our job as elected officials to make sure that the people's votes are protected. Now, there's different things of, you know, people trying to be excited on the right, excited on the left, and, you know, this was fraud, this was that, this was this. But at the end of the day, let's cut out the finger blaming and pointing. Let's get to the facts.
Love it.
As a mediator, we only work with the facts. When parties are arguing over trivial things and majoring in the minor, it becomes a big distraction. But how about if we just come in, call in the officials into the office, or hey, we maybe take a ride down there and meet with them in Riverside. Let's find out, what are your facts? And then if Sheriff Bianco has legitimate facts that make sense, then we should support that. If he doesn't, then we should abort that. That's what people who are being held accountable, when folks put their vote behind someone,
yes,
they're believing that this individual is going to be of service and serve the people. Mm-hmm. But what they're getting for their vote these days are folks just coming along saying they'll do something the right way, and they're going to help you with this, they're going to help you along with that. But as it turns out, once they join the party, there's just no way for them to do it because it's been held hostage, hence hostage negotiator, by the party.
That was perfect. Perfect insert. Perfect. Yeah, perfect.
So as that FBI trained hostage negotiator, my role is to free the people. Let's get the people back in the game. These people are working hard.
They
want common sense in government. They want their elected officials. Sometimes they say, man, this guy has no common sense. Where's his sense? This don't even make any sense.
You know what? Let me insert this, Sean. Yeah. So we don't have to stop here, right? Because the court said, hey, we're going to just kind of put it on hold right now. We don't want to be sued. First of all, what does that tell you about the court system if that's what's happening? Sheriff Bianco and the people of Riverside should be in an absolute uproar. And I think we need to stop being victims and allowing ourselves to be victimized, okay? This is where we really get to take our power back. So in a conversation yesterday with ROV Clint Curtis, you know, Clint reminded me, he said, Kim, listen, he said, because this impacts the federal election, Bianco right now can apply for cert to the Supreme Court because it impacts the federal election. So you don't have to just take what the court is saying. You actually can go, okay, listen, I hear you. What are some action steps we can take to actually move this forward? So that would be my encouragement to Sheriff Bianco right now. That would be my encouragement to the people of Riverside. And, you know, you made a comment a moment ago. What was the comment you made? You said, facts don't lie, people lie. You said that, yes?
Right.
So when we're looking at these machines, you have to remember that the code in the machines was written to be manipulated with. And it's the people outside of the system, Honduras, Venezuela, some of these other countries that actually have you been able to access that system to flip that vote. And so this is what we got to look at. This is not new information. This is something we've been dealing with since 2020. We are now in the midst of the election fraud disclosure. And this is something that President Trump is talking about a lot. So the fact that, John, this is happening in your state, our state, right here, right now.
Right.
We have a window of time before the primaries where we got to say the buck stops right here. This is it. We're going to deal with this now. We're not going to wait for when I'm in office, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do something now. So what is one step you can take, Sean, to move the needle right now to make sure that the people's vote and voice are heard?
Well, I'm going to get right in there on, look, fraud doesn't help any candidate, right? It's not going to help unless the people who created the fraud, they're trying to get some type of advantage. So if there's fraud in our voting system, in our election, and all of the facts align, then if no one else wants to say it, I'm calling BS. And that we have to take a closer look at that, because just like it could hurt Bianco, or it could hurt, it's going to hurt my office as a candidate. Because if the supermajority thinks dead people, people who aren't registered to vote, and we're just going to call it all the numbers, they have it twisted. And that's not fair to the people of California. So if no one else wants to say it, I'll say it. It's not fair. So the one thing that people are electing these officials to do is to at least keep a fair voting process. I think people value their votes.
Yes.
Their vote is their voice.
Yes.
So if Sheriff Bianco found that there was fraud, he's not reckless. He's not reckless by any means. I've met Sheriff Bianco. Mm-hmm. I've met Sheriff Bianco. I've talked to some folks in Riverside County. And here's the deal. I'm sure he had sufficient intel and probable cause to bring it. Now, no matter how they spin it, at the end of the day, your vote is your voice. It should count. It is important. So if there's something going, if there's an appearance of something, mm-hmm. even in mediation, when there's an appearance of something, that means something's going on.
Yes.
We should take a look at that. If you take a paintbrush.
45,000 additional ballots.
That's a lot of votes.
Come on.
That's a lot of votes. A lot of elections are decided by, 10, 20,000.
That's right.
So if there is corruption and fraud at that level, then we should be uncovering that, not blocking that.
Beautiful.
We should be finding out what is going on. And instead of using, again, the supermajority and legislature to say, hey, we're going to put the brakes on that. So is California saying, we just have it rigged and the supermajority keeps doing what they're doing? That's even more of a signal today that the no party preference candidate is your guy for lieutenant governor, because I'm not beholden to either side. So now they're going to be really nervous. They don't want you to vote no party preference because I'm not in the party club. I'm not driving around on the party bus with four flat tires. I'm the new set of tires, the ones that don't slip and slide on the freeway. So, of course, they don't want you to hear from me.
Right.
A Democratic show hasn't invited me on once. You know why? Because they don't want you to know that there is a viable, a real guy, a people's person, an everyday guy just like you that goes to work, has a teenage son, affordable education, and making sure it's accessible to foster kids, making sure that the UCs and the CSUs and our community colleges, the systems are set up for the foster kids, kids with special needs, making sure it's just not a symbolic thing in their curriculum, that these kids are actually having access to higher education. No one is talking about that. Everyone's just throwing out talking points. But there's real stuff. I sit on a foster care board, open your doors, so that these folks, when they term out of foster care. They have access to higher education. We should be making sure, because the kids are our future. And when it comes to making sure to tie it into fair elections, let the people's vote count. We don't want dead people voting 45,000.
That's right.
California. We have a problem. And the reason they don't want you to talk to Sean Collinson is because I will expose the problem. As the mediator, my job is to tell the attorneys when I'm in mediation with them, hey, your exposure is right here. This is where the landmine is. What do you think I'm going to do when I get to Lieutenant Governor's office? I'm going to do the exact same thing. I'm going to create there's only two sides of the coin. You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. A mediator is looking for the solution. My focus is that. I don't know how to figure anything else out. We know what the problem is. The health insurance is too high. Homeowners insurance is too high. Gas prices are too damn high. Small businesses are leaving the state. Big companies are leaving the state. California, we do have a problem. It's time to do something different. What would be so bad? Choosing the no party preference candidate, winning the primaries to do something different. How could I get it more messed up than they've already screwed it up? They screwed it up for 16 years. Mm-hmm. We can't afford four more. That's a 20-year bid. Let me get you released early. This June 2nd, a vote for Sean is a vote for change. And if Sheriff Bianco, he's been gunning strong. When I went up to Riverside and I visit with Bianco, it was an Elks Lodge. He did a speech. And I don't know if anyone's ever heard his speech. And I know that there's been some bickering back and forth with the Republicans, with just some name calling, and we're getting into, you know, kindergarten stuff. But if you ever listen to the guy's story, he had a pretty good story. And then when I watched some things about Steve Hilton, I saw some things that were like, wow, what a great story these folks have, and how committed they are to change. And if we can hold them to that, we can hold them to that. And any combination of this, whether it's a Republican governor or a Democratic governor with a no party preference candidate for lieutenant governor, you're going to give yourself a chance. Even if the supermajority wins and they say, well, you know, Democrats, you know, you guys are weak. And I hear people in their party saying that all day. But at the end of the day, if they wisen up and say, you know what, the people are sick and tired of this, we block everything with a supermajority. You know what? Let's get this no party preference candidate in the game, because it's going to show that we are promoting doing something different.
You're going to hold that right there. Insanity is
doing the same thing and expecting different results. Yes. We haven't got them. California's time to do something different. You guys need to show up and show out on June 2nd for the primaries.
That's Sean
Penn, Sean Connery, Sean Collinson.
S-E-A-N.
S-E-A-N.
That's good.
The mediator. Let's go.
Come on, the mediator. I love it, Sean. I love it. So, Sean, let me ask you. So when we are at the Take Our California Back to a Better Future Summit, we have a MAHA Leaders Governor and State Candidate Forum. We have a few forums that week, and it's going to be extraordinary. So we've got leaders coming in from the Make America Healthy Again movement. So as we move forward, how do you see yourself bridging divides when it comes to health, the issues of the past lockdowns, the mandates? How do you see yourself bridging the gap with putting all of the pieces together with public safety? I mean, this is one of those areas that is not being discussed. And if we don't think it can happen again and be worse, if we don't learn from this, there's a problem. So tell me how you can, what do you see bringing to the table at this MAHA Leader Governor Candidate Forum?
Yeah. So as you know, I mean, a lot of people, you know, we went through this pandemic, we did this mask thing, you know, you go to restaurants and, you know, the people got the mask on and then it's down on their nose. And it was a lot going on with this.
A lot.
And then they came up with about as many monkeys and rat combinations of, you know, things they wanted to do.
Whodunit?
Our governor is going to have to be strong. So I think that at this summit, what I mostly look for as one of a more sort of active listening kind of guy, I'm good at that. And so what I'm looking for is a governor that's going to stand firm, not go with the party preference. And when these guys are talking a good game, I was the debate president. So my whole thing is about, you know, making sure that we hold their feet to the fire. So folks, you know, we can do better. California, we can do better. And if they're just selling the dreams again, now I know that there's strong opposition between the right and the left. It's polarized. The polarization is more than folks have dealt with in a long time. We're coming out of this pandemic. People are trying to get back up to speed, feed their families. They're trying to keep their doors open for businesses. But making sure that we learn from history, not repeat it. That's my stance.
We have to learn
as we go forward. As a mediator, when I come into a case, which I'm currently, you know, still working, I have some open cases, and people come in with difficult concepts and theories. And I don't believe anyone's ever wrong for the way they actually think. Because some people say, you know, I believe this. And when you believe something, you're convicted. My job is to just do active listening. Get on there, build some rapport with you, and don't make you wrong for the way you think. And I think right now that on the summit floor, when folks get an opportunity, we get an opportunity to meet each other and share ideas. Hopefully these guys are not beholden to the party's interest.
Right.
It's time to do the people's business.
Well said.
And I think the people are ready for their business. So when they meet Sean Collinson, you better come over to me with the people's business, because we're not joining fraternities. This isn't even a lifetime gig.
Yeah. Let's take the state back. Let's focus on that. We don't need a little fraternity thing going on.
We have to stop that and take the state back. 100%. So take our power back. This show is absolutely appropriate for this message. And millions of people should be listening to Take Your Power Back show, because this is the only show that is legitimately saying how we get the power back. You're bringing on everyone. You're saying my door is open. If you have a conversation or you have something to speak, to talk about, put it up. Put it up.
Yes.
You're not USC. Where you're limiting it to just four or five people, you're bringing everyone in.
Yes. And speaking of everyone, as we were sitting here, I just got a phone call in from Matt Mahan. So they're starting to call. They're
Matt
starting
Mahan.
To say,
now
I
look.
Want on the platform.
Now look.
That's a good sign. Mahan, that's a good sign.
Now, I could tell you one thing I really like about Matt Mahan. He's level-headed. He was a school teacher. He's level-headed. I love the fact that Matt brings in some qualities of, you know, listening. He's not very reactive. Those are all great skills. That's a skill set. And so as we move forward, I don't think there's a clear front runner to do anything. But as these folks get into bickering and fussing back and forth, I'm going to tell you one person that does handle that really well, and that's Matt Mahan. He handled that really well. I've seen him, you know, I saw Steve Hilton standing right next to him. He took some shots. If I'm Lieutenant Governor, the governor and I have to work close together. We have to have likability. And so as the Lieutenant Governor, and I'm having open doors with community meetings, town halls, where folks get to on a monthly or bi-monthly access to the Lieutenant Governor's office. We have a round table. The leaders get in the room. The citizens get in the room in the communities that pay the taxes, that pay government and elect the officials, and they get in the room and they say what is keeping them up at night. Has anyone ever thought about, like, well, how do I call one of the elected officials that I voted for and tell them what's keeping me up at night. Mm. So when we talk about healthcare, that's going through the roof. A couple of people probably keeping them up at night. Gas prices, insurance, access to higher education, it's keeping people up at night. So now when in my lieutenant governor's office, my door is open. So the people have access to take the power back by speaking to the officials. Now, once I get the people, I hear from them. My leverage and influence of that office is to go and communicate that with the governor aligned. So that's when I'm saying bridge the gap, there's going to be a huge gap. And it always has been between fear and respect for law enforcement. Mm. In 2015, I had a program called POP, Pullover Protocol, that I partnered with the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department. That was teaching young drivers how to have respect for law enforcement in a way so that they can get home safe and so can the officers. Mm. So it was about bridging fear and respect. A lot of folks don't know that. But we were one of the only teams that stayed on board going to all of the hot spots in Southern California where young drivers were saying, I have no respect for police. They tell me to get out the car. I don't need to do that. I don't need to listen to them. They're not my daddy, not my mama. But when we went into those schools, we started to explain to them that, do you know that police officers are moms, dads, brothers and sisters and cousins and uncles and family members? One kid in one of the schools we went to, he said he hated police officers. And so we did the Q&A and I said, why do you hate the police? He goes, they killed my cousin. Mm. And this kid was a senior in high school. He had valid, you know, emotions. Mm. So at the end, I went over and I spoke to him and I said, you know, what happened? And he told me the story. By the end of our conversation, we were taking some photos in the front. He came up to the front and I looked over at him and I said, hey, man, want to take a picture with us? I'm in play. I'm just in my suit. I'm with some sheriff deputies, a captain. And he said, okay. And he just kind of nodded, but it was inclusive.
Yeah.
He felt good. This kid.
So good.
Now I'm going to shock you. Today, he's becoming a police officer.
That's great.
What I told him was,
that's huge.
Don't be part of the problem.
Yes.
Sometimes we can't control the problem, but we can the solution.
That's right. That's right. Sean, final question today. Yes. What message do you have for every Californian watching who feels their voice has been ignored for way too long?
Too long. My message to every Californian is feeling like your voice hasn't been heard. You've been ignored. It's true. It's true. I'll say it for you. But as the mediator candidate for lieutenant governor, no party preference. That means that your voice is going to be heard. If you rewind this show, I said I'm going to have town halls for my office as lieutenant governor. You're going to get to shake hands and tell me what keeps you up at night. Because you're the reason I'm on this show. I'm on this show for the people to serve, to be of service. So a vote for Sean, and I know my saying, like Sean Penn, like Sean Connery, S-E-A-N, Sean. The vote for me is the vote for change. It's a vote to do something different this time. Let's just take a chance on doing something different. Keep your party affiliation. I don't want to take that away from you. I know you've spent years at that party. All I'm saying, let's change the DJ. Let's put someone in, the mediator, to take your vote to Sacramento to make a difference, where you will have access to the office. You'll have access so that this ear to the streets, to the people working hard, to small businesses, bringing them back. I'm your shot at restoration and hitting the reset A lot of people don't know, Kim, that I wrote a book in December. It was called Reset or Repeat. We're either going to repeat the same problems and pain, or we're going to reset our purpose.
So time for a reset, Sean Collins. And people can find
you. That's what I'm going to do for the folks of California. I'm not in either party. I'm not saying leave your party. I'm not telling you that. Yeah. I know some people are saying you have to join us. You got to join us. No, we need to come together, folks.
That's right.
Unify. We need to put our heads together.
Create. Yes.
And California is turning this whole thing. Join the party. It's not sounding. And then on one side, they keep telling you, oh, we're poor. We are going to jail. My family was this. I'm sick and tired of the poor talk. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for some lift me up talk.
Get me to the SeanChristina.com.
What happened next level? I'm not going to sit around telling my kids we poor and when everybody was in jail and from the hood and it's all good. No. Start speaking life into me. Talking about we can go to the next level. I don't want to sound too aggressive because I'm a mediator. And a hostage negotiator.
John Collinson, I want to say thank you.
Thank you
for your bold vision. California needs leaders who listen first.
I'm
so honored to have you here. We can reach you at, let's look at that website right there on the scroll. Sean Collinson for Lieutenant Governor. And that's Sean for S-E-A-N for F-O-R-C-A.com. That's Sean for C-A.com. Sean Collinson, I am so excited to see you at the Take Our California Back to a Better Future statewide summit in the breadbasket of America.
We'll see you in person soon, Kim.
I'm excited. God bless you.
God bless you too. And God bless America. Side. Bless California. Let's go, people. It's time for change. SeanForCA.com.